Hey, everybody. On this episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, we give you the California recall results as they are right now and an update. We talk about how India has been able to turn the corner using ivermectin. We've mentioned it before, but definitely worth checking this out. We talk about Mark Milley and the new revelations that have come out that he leaked information to China in a bizarre and inexcusable turn of events. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, where we are doing everything we can to reach millions of young people every single month, go to charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Laura from Anchorage, Alaska. Thank you. James from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you. Elisa from Tennessee for your very generous support. Thank you. Joyce from Idaho for your support. Thank you. Zach from Idaho as well. Thank you for your support. Eagle, Idaho. Great. Monica from Cheyenne, Alabama. CharlieKirk.com/support. Get behind the work that we are doing. It helps our production team. It helps us grow. It helps us travel. CharlieKirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war, go to TPUSA.com. That's TPUSA.com. Start a high school chapter. Start a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Check it out right now to get involved. Very important episode, action-packed. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. We had a long night last night watching the California returns come in for the California recall. We're going to do a short summary of that and kind of how things unfolded. And then we're going to get into some stories here regarding Mark Milley. So the way it works in California is there is a massive surge of mail-in ballots, and then the same day ballots get counted. Now, as of right now at about 12 o'clock Eastern, it's very clear that the Democrats were able to use the mail-in voting system to their advantage. 5.8 million people currently want to keep Gavin Newsom, and 3.2 million people wanted to remove Gavin Newsom. But that's only with 68% reporting, and with some of the most Republican areas yet to report the same-day voting. Now, to be very honest, looking at these numbers based on the volume of mail-in ballots, which is something we could never predict, Gavin Newsom is likely to survive this. Do I think it was preemptive to call it 45 minutes after? Of course. Do I think that you should have at least 80 to 90% of all ballots counted before you get to some sort of conclusion? Orange County, for example, has 75% reporting, only 75% reporting, and none of the election day results. Orange County could flip from a keep Gavin Newsom county to a remove Gavin Newsom county. So the story of California is still being written. It looks right now like a blowout. I think this is going to get much, much tighter, and tighter meaning within 10 points. Now, we always knew that it wasn't going to be a fair fight. And one of the main reasons we covered this California recall was not just because the polls were tightening, but it made the Democrats go on defense. It made Gavin Newsom defend the indefensible, made him bring out Barack Obama, it made him bring in Joe Biden, made him spend $75 million of his campaign war chest. And I know a lot of people are kind of demoralized and upset, and they say, man, I can't believe we went through that again. And with all the shenanigans of printing your ballot at home and all this nonsense, And look, I've only been in this fight for about 10 years. You got to get used to the successes and you got to get used to the times when your teeth get kicked in. You also got to get used to the time where they cut corners and they misrepresent things as they are. And so the question is, do you give up with something like this? A lot of people are. We've received some emails. They say, Charlie, I'm done. Well, then you're giving up on the country. Look, California is a long-term project, and we do not know the end result. Some people say, well, Charlie, it's a 30-point blowout. Not so fast. I think it's going to get down to 10 and 12 points, maybe even below that. If it gets down to single digits, it's remarkable. Now, again, you're dealing with California, where a lot of conservatives that are watching this, they've just started getting involved in politics in California recently. They've just started. The Democrats have been doing this since the 1960s and 70s. With the gay movement in San Francisco, with the importation of voters into California, and just more broadly, this is for all the Republicans watching. You keep on allowing loose immigration policy on the southern border and legal immigration policy, you're going to have what you have in California, which is 27% of the people in California are not born in America. Spanish is the number one language spoken in California, not English. And as Victor Davis Hanson brilliantly says it, that's not a xenophobic argument to make. It's just a question of when you turn to your fellow countrymen who's not even born in your own country, do they know the story of Iwo Jima? Do they know the American creed? Do they share a combined history and tradition to conserve the nation around them? Or will they kind of be indifferent about those sorts of things? California is a test case in a lot of different ways. What happens when you have unlimited mass immigration, both legal and illegal immigration? When you have Democrat leaders absolutely crush the common man, the everyday man, under the excuse or the auspice of trying to create equity. California has the highest sales tax, gas tax, income tax, homelessness, and California has aborted more people than the entire population of Canada. You might ask the question then, how is it that Gavin is able to get 5.8 million votes in just the first mail-in drop? Well, the Democrats did what they had to do in the sense where, number one, they allow people to print ballots at home, and there were so many questions about the actual process of how this election unfolded, of course, something that we have covered extensively here on this program. But more than that, Democrats did the work of trying to create this to be a binary election. They said, okay, it's not about Gavin Newsom. It's about trying to reject Donald Trump and reject Republicans. And the challenge that I think that is in front of us as we try to retake California or any other state across the country, you're going to have to dedicate yourself to this in a multi-year project. Winning over voters, voter registration, precinct by precinct, activating people to be able to get engaged and get involved. California is a beast. We know that. California is a state of, what, 32, 33, 36 million people? And we knew the entire time that this fight, in some ways, was going to be very, very difficult. But isn't that what we're involved in, is difficult fights? You think it's an easy fight to go retake the country now with where it's at? And so my message to anyone watching out here that might be slightly discouraged or have their, you know, a little demoralized. 39.5 million people in California, excuse me, with a declining population, isn't that hard to believe? Is that we're going to keep on pushing forward in California nationally. We're going to push forward in every single state across the country, Arizona, in Texas, in Georgia. And the question remains, are we going to give up or are they going to push forward and implement their specific agenda for the country? So it looks like it's going to continue to tighten. It probably won't be enough to try to overcome it. But I also want to talk about some good news. Never again do I want to hear that Republicans are racist. In a runoff election with a guy that had no political experience, the person who won the if-yes recall question, Larry Elder with 2.3 million votes, 46% of the vote. That is a blowout as far as the if-yes question goes. Larry Elder with 2.3 million votes. Just give me the idea of how many people that is. That's enough to win a governor's race in Arizona in regular years to get 2.3 million votes. Pretty remarkable. And Larry Elder deserves a lot of credit. He's articulate. He's energetic. Loves his country. He didn't have to get involved in this. He did not have to get engaged, or he didn't have to put himself out there for the Los Angeles Times to say he's the black face of white supremacy. He didn't have to do that. But Larry Elder getting into the race, combining forces, raising money, getting people out, made the Democrats all of a sudden question whether or not they still control California. And they say, oh, yes, we still do. But getting even millions of signatures, by the way, to get this on the ballot is a massive accomplishment. We have to now embrace an activist mindset. You know what an activist mindset means? Regardless of whether or not you win or lose, you show up the next day. That's what the left has done to us for 60 years. And I'm going to be very honest with you. Some of you are emailing me freedom@charliekirk.com. Way, way too many fair weather conservatives out there. Huh? Doesn't look like this one's going to work. I'm done. I'm over. Really? You think the left did that when they were pushing for gay marriage in San Francisco in the 1970s? When they were pushing for unlimited and unrestricted abortion? Of course not. They persisted. That's a word they like to use. They persevered. And slowly we were focused on our churches, our communities, and our businesses. And they changed the country and the fabric of it. And we think we're going to retake it in just one election. No, no, no. This is a long-term process, and we can have victories along the way. But I'm telling you, don't be discouraged, everybody. And a great credit to Larry Elder for shaking this up, for changing the primary in it. He deserves a lot of credit. He did not have to do this. God bless him for that. And look, before we go any further to the AMA, you guys know that I want all of you to learn from great books. Thinker.org/Charlie is a place where you can consume big ideas in a short period of time. Key insights from dangerous ideas, a brief history of the censorship in the West from the ancients to fake news is our Thinker.org book of the week. Here's what you'll learn. You'll learn that censorship is a temptation as old as speech itself, and it has proven the preferred option over tolerance and open discussions throughout our history. Journalist and human rights lawyer Eric Berkovitz, he walks you through the tension between speech and suppression in Western history, highlighting events that have shaped the movement towards free speech and the temptations to curtail it. So you guys can listen to big ideas quickly and not be in violation of thought crimes and be stuffed down memory holes at thinker.org/Charlie. 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 Check it out right now. You guys are able to consume big ideas quickly. thinker.org/Charlie. Check it out. Mark Milley, who is the Joint Chiefs Chairman, remember he testified in front of Congress about how he thinks highly of Robin DiAngelo and the idea that people in the armed forces need to study about white rage. Mark Milley has an extraordinary amount of power. No one voted for Mark Milley. Have you ever heard of a Milley rally? Do people show up and wait in line to go hear from Mark Milley? Do people go and vote for Mark Milley? Of course not. Mark Milley is there because a president put him there. Mark Milley is a temporary figurehead of the machine. The machine that runs the inner workings of our government. This is also known as the deep state. This is known as the bureaucracy. The fourth branch of government is something we call it here on this program. Unelected, unchecked power, and unknown to many people. A new book by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, they detail secret moves by the nation's highest-ranking military officers to manage national security risks that he perceived Donald Trump posed in the final days of the presidency. Now, before I go any further, this book is being met with widespread praise by many members of the media, saying, thank you, Mark Milley. Thank you for usurping the president's power. Thank you for getting in the way of Donald Trump. So here's the details. On October 30th, 2020, 1 week before the election of the for the presidency of the United States, I'm sorry, not 1 week, that was like 4 or 5 days before, right? It's like November 3rd or something, right? Mark Milley has a phone call with the equivalent counterpart in China, Chinese counterpart. In this account, Milley reportedly assures the Chinese general, Chinese General Li, that Trump would not attack China, and that if Trump did decide to attack, then Milley would give his Chinese counterpart a secret heads up. So Mark Milley is privately and treasonously back-channeling with the Chinese, saying, hey, if you guys go take Taiwan and President Trump wants to put an aircraft carrier, I'm going to give you a heads up. I'm going to get in the way. Don't worry. I got your back. This was both done on October 30th and January 8th. So the first reporting came out and they said, oh, this was in response to Donald Trump's handling of the January 6th incident. But then more information started to come out and we realized, no, this was done on October 30th first, where Mark Milley is calling his buddy General Li from China. China, our greatest enemy. It's not a rival. It's not a competitor. It's not an adversary. They are our sworn enemy. The Chinese Communist Party is an evil, totalitarian, godless, and soulless institution that wants you and your children dead. Some people think, oh, Charlie, it's too extreme. Just wait. You'll come around. Same way that we've predicted many things on this program, such as where the virus came from. We've predicted all sorts of different things on this program. I'm telling you, you'll see who the Chinese really are. Tucker Carlson had some exceptional commentary on this, asking the question, if you are able to undermine a president, is our constitutional form of government still intact? Do we still have the consent of the governed? Do we still have checks and balances? Do we still have elections? Or is it just that we have elections and we put people in there, but the machine will go untouched? Play tape.
I would call General Milley a hero. He behaved in a heroic manner.
But what he did was ensure the guardrails were in place. So I give him high marks for this based on what's described in the book.
I think Milley felt ill-used by the episode on Lafayette Square when he was used as a prop. So one can understand Milley's anxieties.
We were in a period of extraordinary danger. I think General Milley is going to be treated very favorably by history.
Now, Tucker actually didn't talk in that. That was just a montage from Tucker. History will treat Milley very favorably. The man who decided to run the government against the will of the people. You see, this proves our point that all of these hippie liberals that were always about do what you want to do, deep down there was an authoritarian waiting to get out. Deep down they wanted the tanks rolling through the streets and they want to call the shots. And Mark Milley is just a temporary pawn in that game. When's the last time you think you had American meat? Chances are it's been way too long. Did you know that over 80% of the grass-fed beef sold in the United States is imported from overseas? My friends, the Good Ranchers, have traveled the country on a mission to help the American family by working together with local farms and ranches, shipping straight to your doctor. GoodRanchers.com delivers American craft beef better than organic chicken. Look, most of your beef is from overseas, and they lie to you about it. The way they label it, it's deceiving. You need meat straight from America. Look, when we use Good Ranchers, there's a box that it delivers to us. And I'm telling you, we fight over it. Producer Connor, he has barbecues like you wouldn't believe. In fact, we have to keep on telling Good Ranchers, send us more meat. Why? Well, it's because it is the good stuff. So go to GoodRanchers.com to buy now or subscribe today and save 20% on each box of mouth-watering meats. Go to GoodRanchers.com/Charlie or use code Charlie at checkout. That's $20 off and free. That's GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. Know where your meat comes from with GoodRanchers.com. Lois Lerner. Who is Lois Lerner? Lois Lerner ran the Internal Revenue Service under Barack Obama, and she was charged with targeting conservative groups using the Internal Revenue Service exempt division to go after them. After years of oversight from Daryl Issa to Trey Gowdy, subpoenas, and even Paul Ryan banging on the desk in a rare turn of events, what happened to Lois Lerner? Well, Lois Lerner still receives her pension. Lois Lerner never went to jail. And Lois Lerner is living a probably happy and peaceful life, relatively, in Virginia. And she'll always be protected by the ruling class. She'll be invited to the dinners. She'll probably become some scholar at some institute funded by some massive NGO. And she was the face of government overreach domestically going after conservative groups. Mark Milley is not dissimilar than Lois Lerner. In the sense, Mark Milley has done something very wrong. Republicans are going to try to do everything they can to call him out. But people are saying, you know, Mark Milley should resign. Mark Milley's not going to resign, everybody. Mark Milley will stay exactly where he is because he is loyal to the machine. Mark Milley is the same sort of creature as Fauci. Mark Milley is a permanent bureaucrat, never having won a war, nothing but medallions on the left side of his jacket, cleverly deceiving you, acting with outright, I was going to say, kind of a pompous attitude almost about how we run our military. And now it has come out that Mark Milley spoke to his Chinese counterpart on October 30th. I'm a big fan of Sun Tzu's Art of War. It's one of the greatest books ever written. Know not just what your enemy is doing. Know the terrain of which the battle was fought. The greatest of all battles are not ones that are fought, but the ones that are not fought. And to get your enemy to fight themselves. I could quote Sun Tzu almost all day. And I'm paraphrasing some of this. I'm sure there's some Sun Tzu scholar out there that will come after me. Maybe not. The art of war is not studied by Mark Milley. Instead, Mark Milley would author the art of the fail, failing upwards. Milley, though, is interchangeable. This idea that you're just going to phone up our greatest enemy and give them a heads up of our military movements, they could go find 100 people to do that. But this was not an isolated incident under the Trump administration. The Trump administration dealt with this at every single term. Remember Anonymous? Remember the anonymous op-ed written by Miles Taylor? Miles Taylor, Department of Homeland Security, who wrote in Anonymous, I think I have it here somewhere. I'm going to paraphrase this, we'll get it, that it's my obligation and my duty to take papers off of the desk of the President of the United States because I'm in charge and he isn't. Remember John Kelly? John Kelly, the chief of staff to Trump, one of them, where he said in later interviews he had to not follow through on orders given by the president because he thought he knew better. You know, we talk a lot about coups and insurrections and displacement of power. This is a displacement of power, where all of a sudden you have an unelected branch of people that really don't care about what the American people have to say. Let's listen to this tape right here. Cut 65. This is General Mark Milley. This is the guy that runs the military. And if you have a son or daughter in the U.S. military, they are not in good hands with this man. They are in danger. Mark Milley is a traitor to the United States. That's obvious. But he's amongst other traitors as well. Most of our government at the highest level is kind of in that category. But listen to this. He says, China's not an enemy. He's ranting. Cut 65.
China's not an enemy. And I think that's important for people to clearly understand. China is a rising power. China has been a rising power since Deng Xiaoping in 79.
Not an enemy, everybody. It doesn't matter. They're building islands in the South China Sea, that they are the sworn international globalist racists that want to abolish America off the face of the earth. And some people say, Charlie, oh, that's not true. I've dealt with people from China. Look, those are one-off. I'm going to pull a Winston Churchill here. Winston Churchill knew tyranny when he saw it. The language, the behavior, the word selection, the pageantry, the lack of elections, And Justin, right now, China has now denied German warship Bear entry into a local harbor. And China is right off the Alaska coast. China wants to take Taiwan. Do we have the will to defend Taiwan? By the way, here's a great idea for Taiwan. If you want to prevent China from invading, is the United States government could do this in a week, but we don't want to. What we could have done is, instead of giving all the weapons to the Taliban, that $85 billion in weapons, we should have said, we are now going to fly all those weapons to Taipei and arm every single citizen in Taiwan. China would not want to invade a country where they might, they're going to turn around every single corner and every shop owner and every single normal person has an AR-15 or a military grade rifle. Instead, we gave those weapons to the Taliban. So Milley is going to be called to testify. He's going to be called to answer for this, and nothing will happen. Galileo had a very famous quote. I'm going to do my best to remember it. And yet it moves, and so it turns. There's a couple different ways to interpret what that means. He was obviously talking about gravitational pull, and he was talking about planet Earth. But it's kind of very similar to the bureaucracy. And yet it moves, and so it turns. We'll just have another Mark Milley, another one to replace that. And it really is to blame Republicans that allowed, and yet it moves is the quote. I wasn't wrong. That's right. It wasn't, and so it turns, but it's similar, and yet it moves. But Republicans allowed the military-industrial complex to become this powerful. Dwight D. Eisenhower warned about this in his farewell address. He said, if we allow the military-industrial complex to be this powerful, the sovereignty of the American people will erode. And here is something I want you to dwell over. This is something I want you to marinate over. We may never know the extent of the usurpation of power against Trump and against the President of the United States. Remember Peter Strzok and Lisa Page? James Comey, where they march into the White House, into the West Wing of the White House, and they entrap a general they don't like and try to destroy his life, even though he said, do I need to have a lawyer here? And they wrote on the 302s that they were trying to target Michael Flynn. The Founding Fathers designed a system that was going to prevent against this. This is an oligarchy. This is not a republic. It's certainly not a representative democracy. This is without a doubt one of the scariest things that has happened in recent years. It's going to get blown over. People are going to forget about it. But when you have a general that all of a sudden says, no, 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 I'm in charge. You know, a phrase that is thrown around far too often, in my personal opinion, there's kind of like these 15 or 20 phrases that happen in the conservative movement that kind of drive me nuts, but they're not wrong. It's just we have to think a little bit deeper, in my opinion. We have to study history more. One of the phrases which just drives me nuts, but it's true, it's just too cliche, is, are we in a banana republic? Are we in a banana republic? Just enough with that, okay? But you know what? We're in a banana republic. I hear it all the time. You know what one of the characteristics of a banana republic is? The military and the generals are in charge. Is that when it comes down to it, it's not the will of the people, it's a junta. Get on the tanks, show the guns, take over the government. And you look at revolutions, I mean, let's use a great example. To use a Seinfeld reference, a place that used to be called Burma. It will always be Burma to me. Myanmar. Remember 5 months ago, 6 months ago, right, Connor, 7 months ago? There was that woman that was doing yoga in the street in the capital city of Burma. I don't even know the capital city of Burma or Myanmar. Is it Yangon? Is that right? Or Mandalay? Anyway, she was doing yoga. And what happened right behind her? The military of Myanmar decided, we want to be in charge now. And it just took over the country. What Mark Milley is showing you is the general class, alongside of the propaganda wing, all the people praising him, They are the sovereign. Remember, there's only two types of government, one where the people control the government or one where the government controls the people. Which one is it? Well, Mark Milley is the government. He is not the people. Mark Milley has never done anything remotely successful in his entire life except being able to knock out four extra large pizzas from Domino's. It's the only thing he's ever done that has really impressed me. And yet he stays. And yet it remains. It's because Mark Milley is useful to the regime. Mark Milley will parrot the Rahm and DeAngelo talking points. He will articulate the woke industrial complex. And guess what? Mark Milley will call up China, and he has more loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party and their people than to the American flag, to the American people, to a sworn enemy of freedom and America. China that hates your guts and wants your children dead. Mark Milley says, I'm going to give him a heads up. Mark Milley says, I'm going to call him. I'm going to help him. And Mark Milley did that to General Lee. The question is, how many other calls like that happened throughout the presidency? How many other leaks and back channels happened? Mark Milley will remain. It'll be an explosive hearing. So what do we do about this? One of the great ironies is that the more the other side talks about power to the people, it's actually the opposite. We have been told over the last 100 years, I've only lived 27 of them, since the German historicist Woodrow Wilson took power, that we need to give more power to the people. That we need to give more power to the common man. And we have always known this to be a fraud. We've always known this to be transparently deceitful. That in reality, it's really people like Mark Milley that are going to be in charge. It's people like Fauci that are going to be in charge. The false promise of democracy, which, again, we have to get our terms right. We are not a democracy. A democracy means, in its purest sense, the business of the people. Demos, many, ocracy, business of, or the dwellings of, or the playing out of. That's how you govern yourself. So theocracy, that under God, monarchy, so on and so forth. If you kind of go back to the Greek roots of it. Democracy would mean that if 60% of the country believes something, it could become true almost immediately. Now, I will agree that the founders wanted a representative government, an independent judiciary, checks and balances. But the tension point is that if the false promise of democracy is that everyone is all of a sudden going to be incredibly empowered to be able to remove corruption and to have a voice in the government, the opposite is true. The false promise of democracy, which is why we need a small r Republican style of government or a constitutional reset, which is democracy keeps people placated and happy when a smaller and smaller and powerful group of people are actually the ones calling the shots. And yes, the suffix crusy comes from the meaning rule or strength. I was right within the meaning there. And so you have Mark Milley here. And it continues in this Axios piece where we know that Chinese intelligence has been hacking our country. Behind the scenes, in mid-October, top Pentagon officials grew concerned about the intelligence they'd seen about China. It showed that Chinese were consuming their own intelligence that had made them concerned about the possibility of a surprise U.S. strike against China. One source said, quote, I think the Chinese were getting bad intelligence, a combination of wag-the-dog conspiracy thinking and bad intel from bad sources. Hold on. If China thinks we're going to attack them, that's a wonderful thing. They should always operate under the belief that America might send a missile at you at any time. Not that we're going to, but China being an existential enemy, you're trying to tell me that Mark Milley's in the business of de-escalation? No, he's not. Mark Milley is a owned and operated, very large product of the Chinese Communist Party. When he's done in the military, he'll go lobby for some company or sit on some board that has ties to the Chinese Communist Party. And this goes to the China issue, the China trap. This is not just Milley. It's not just Fauci, but isn't it interesting, though, that Milley and Fauci both are kind of tied into the pro-China thing? It's not just Biden and his regime and Hunter Biden 10% from the big man. No, 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 no. If you are wealthy in America and you are tied to the political system, in one way or the other, you are swimming in the tributaries that China has created of unrestricted capital flows to make America dependent on Wuhan, Beijing, and Shanghai. No one wants to talk about it. But from the Wall Street class to Hollywood to sports to athletics, you saw it with John Cena to LeBron James to the owner of the Houston Rockets to the National Basketball Association to how we make movies. China has done something that the Soviet Union never would have dreamed of doing. They infiltrated our ruling class, used their love of green and money against them, and their lack of patriotism, and slowly and surely, China partnered with the woke industrial complex to diminish and to deplete our love of our nation. And next thing you know, a story comes out with Mark Milley saying that he wanted to favor the Chinese, and most powerful people say that's a good thing. We like that because they give us money. The China trap was set for us. It's not too late to get out of it. Did you know that if you shop at Nike, they turn around and give your hard-earned dollars to pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood and the Population Council? Sinister folks, by the way. Did you know that Airbnb gave $500,000 to the Marxist BLM Incorporated organization? Your first vote is at the ballot box, but that isn't enough to defend our traditional Judeo-Christian values. Left-wing corporations who are woke are subverting our democracy. We're not a democracy, okay? Left-wing corporations are subverting our nation and our republic by taking money from conservative customers and giving it to radical organizations that support abortion, gun control, and critical race theory. You have another vote, a second vote at the checkout line, which is why there's a massively important organization called Second Vote that comes in. I know them very well. I've known them for years, and I'm so honored to partner with them. And the courageous people at Second Vote are exposing corporations for how they spend your money. So check out secondvote.com today. Second Vote is developing incredible tools and engaging the smartest minds in the country to help inform Americans' purchasing decisions. Their work is arduous, complex, and exhaustive, and it doesn't happen for free. So please support their work so we can defend our future from the woke Marxist mob. So here's what I want you to do. Do what I did. Just go right now to secondvote.com and subscribe. It's $50 a year. I know it costs something, but they have to be able to pay for their research. And the Black family, who are amazing people, by the way, have underwritten this effort for quite some time. But if you use the promo code Charlie, you get 50% off. That's $25 a year, everybody. Okay? That's literally $2 a month. And that's 50% off, so $25 a year. That's $2.5 a month at that, so that you can have the information you need on your next purchase. So join me, go to secondvote.com, and subscribe with promo code CHARLIE. Maybe it's like, hey, I don't know if the car I'm buying, are they donating to Planned Parenthood? What about all these companies? Secondvote.com has every company ranked. It's a beautiful thing. Go to secondvote.com and subscribe with promo code Charlie today. Mark Milley and his cabal have just confirmed Bob Woodward's reporting on calls to Chinese communist generals. Now, Mark Milley is trying out a new strategy. It's bold. We'll see if it works out for him, which is usually when you're accused of treason, like General Petraeus, you deny it and deny it and stretch it out over a couple years and then finally admit that some of the details might have been right and covered up. Mark Milley's going all in. Mark Milley says, oh, you better believe I talked to the Chinese Communist Party. In fact, I talked to him about white rage. He told me about Art of War and I told him about the Art of Woke. There's these beautiful memes going around of kind of this picture of Milley. It says, General Milley, which is always give the plans to the enemy before you strike. Inform your enemy of your attack plans. General Milley. It really kind of does make you wonder, is Mark Milley the source for Woodward's book? And I say, well, Charlie, why would he want to do that? Makes himself seem as the defender of democracy is what they're calling him. Mark Milley stood against the fascist dictatorship that was Donald Trump and was willing to do what was necessary. We are seeing the country radically change culturally. And the institutions that once worked a certain way have been revolutionized. Revolutionized nearly completely from within. Cut 54, President Trump says that if this is true, which is hard to believe he would have called China, then this is treason. Well, it is true. He just admitted that it's true. And it happened while undermining Donald Trump. Cut 54.
So first of all, if it is actually true, which is hard to believe, that he would have called China and done these things and was willing to advise them of an attack or in advance of an attack, that's treason. I don't know if they have him on tape saying this, but I found Woodward and I found his cohorts to be extremely dishonorable people. That's why I didn't do an interview with him. I think he's highly overrated. This guy is one of the most overrated guys. He's a sleaze.
Well, someone's confirming Woodward's reporting. And Milley, running the military, believes he's better than you, the Constitution. So Milley swore an oath to the Constitution of the United States. He violated that Constitution. Now, in a functioning society, in a mature society, in a prudent society, Mark Milley should be court-martialed and put in prison for the rest of his life for treason. Instead, Mark Milley will be treated as a hero. He will get a very lucrative book deal. There will be a Netflix series made about the day that Milley saved democracy. He'll get a fellowship at some think tank you've never heard of for hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And Mark Milley will end up becoming a guest lecturer at Harvard School of Statecraft, at George Washington International School of Public Affairs. And Mark Milley will rest out his days in Kennebunkport, Maine, whining and dining amongst the defense industrial complex, smirking and smiling as his grandchildren learn Mandarin. But he's okay with that. Mark Milley is perfectly fine with his grandchildren learning Mandarin as long as he gets wealthy and he gets rich and he stays fat and happy. Cut 70, the current regime, Jen Psaki and the Biden cabal. What are they saying about Mark Milley? Oh, no, they say it's patriotic. You see, the Biden regime is saying that what Mark Milley did was good for the country. So I hope you're taking notes at home. To go against the chain of command, to violate the Constitution of the United States, to give our enemies a heads up before we do anything, or to even slightly give them a preview. The Biden regime calls that patriotic. Meanwhile, China is sending hundreds of thousands of spies to our country that call themselves college students, and that is not conjecture. That has been proven. They build Confucius Institutes on college campuses. They hack our cyber grid. And can we just, do we not even remember? Let's just take a deep pause. They launched a bioweapon, intentionally or unintentionally, called the Chinese Corona Fauci virus, that killed hundreds of thousands of Americans, that is still mutating. We locked ourselves down in response to that. But the Biden regime, they think it's patriotic to give our enemies preference. Play cut 70.
Well, it's the obligation of every chairman of the Joint Chiefs to follow constitutional orders to prevent unlawful military action. That's what the president believes. I'm not going to give further analysis other than to say that the president believes he's patriotic, that he is, his fidelity to our Constitution is unquestionable, and he has complete confidence.
Patriotic, complete confidence in Mark Milley. He's not going anywhere, everybody. Again, George Washington School of International Affairs, he'll get a book deal. He'll go on television. He'll be romanticized by the media. He'll be platformed for the remainder of his days. Now, there is no honor amongst thieves, but they don't care about honor. One thing that I've realized is the people in charge of this country used to have a little bit of shame when they did something wrong. Now they have arrogance and a smug attitude and pride. They don't care. Mark Milley doesn't care that half the country is going to think of him as a traitor. He doesn't care. Jen Psaki doesn't care either. Joe Biden definitely doesn't care. They kind of just associate with who they want to associate with. They almost wear it as kind of this weird badge of honor. Like, yeah, you know, Republicans think I'm a traitor. They're the traitors. They're not the Americans. And this really kind of does beg the question, are we still a country anymore? Are we still a country? What kind of government do we have? It's certainly not a constitutional republic. It's certainly not representative. It could be this kind of corporate oligarchy. Could be a rule of the few. Do we still have a country? Or do we just kind of have this messy combination of parts that we put together where generals can do whatever they want whenever they want to do it? DHS members can pull things off the desk. You can leak phone calls of a president like what happened with President Trump with a perfectly fine phone call with Ukraine. You're going to have Peter Strzok just waltz into the White House and do whatever he wants. The southern border is wide open. Spanish is being spoken more than English in California. 27% of people in California weren't even born there. We're bringing in Afghan refugees like it's going out of style. Do we still even have a country? Or is this just kind of this corporate colony of disparate parts of people doing whatever they want to do? No checks and balances. But if you're powerful, you're protected. If not, good luck. And what was General Milley saying back in June? This is why they love General Milley. This is why Milley will be paid very well for the rest of his life. This is why Milley will be protected. This is why Milley is useful, because Milley is willing to play into the torpedo missile against the American Republic that goes underwater without it realizing it and kills us. What is it? The cult of diversity. The belief that racism and ending racism is the most important thing ever. The fact that Mark Milley is willing to say what he says in Cut 69 makes him infinitely useful to the regime. Play Cut 69.
Address specifically white rage or black rage or Asian rage or Irish rage or English rage or German rage or any other rage, right? But I do think it's important that we as a professional military not only understand foreign countries and foreign cultures and foreign societies. That's important that we do that. But we also need to understand our own society and understand the soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and the society they're coming from. And I think that's important for leadership to study.
Yeah, it's important to study white rage. It's important to study Robin DiAngelo and eugenics. Of course, that's what. How about this? How about you study military strategy? Mark Milley, how about you study, just read Art of War. It doesn't take long. How about an afternoon? I'd love your thoughts on it. Why don't you go give a lecture on winning? But he doesn't know how to do that. Because the military hasn't cared about winning post-Vietnam. The military has only cared about the preservation of their contracts, the protection of their own incumbent interests, and giving people like Mark Milley total and complete protection as the Chinese take over our country. What if I told you there might be something out there that people could walk around with the confidence and the belief that they might have a fighting chance against the Fauci Chinese coronavirus? Now, for Media Matters watching at home, just making sure you have your props and your visuals, just to understand exactly all this. And this is a box of ivermectin. You can see that's, yeah, you got that? I got hydroxychloroquine here. Daniel Horowitz, who's one of the smartest people on the planet, he's phenomenal. We should have him back on our show soon. He writes this story, which is so important. Just shows how all of you are being lied to by the activist press. The unmistakable ivermectin miracle in the Indian state of Uttar Pradesh. Let's link this story on charliekirk.com if people want to see it. I'm going to read verbatim a lot of this piece because it's that good. And it's just so shocking how the people that we put in charge of our health authorities are refusing to cover this. Uttar Pradesh might sound obscure to most Americans, but it is the most populated state in India, with urban areas that rival the most densely populated cities in the United States, yet, miraculously, despite housing a population of 240 million people, this northern state in India has only been averaging 24 cases of the virus and 0 to 2 deaths per day in recent months. Despite its size, roughly 73% of the U.S. population, it ranked dead last in cases per capita last week among India's 36 states. So what gives? Has Uttar Pradesh done a mass vaccine strategy? Has Uttar Pradesh shut down schools? Has Uttar Pradesh shut down nightclubs? Has Uttar Pradesh shut down bars? Has Uttar Pradesh mandated masks? Well, the answer, according to Daniel Horowitz, is in the 10-letter I word that you are not allowed to mention on social media. So we saying it right now on YouTube, we're taking a risk. Ivermectin. Evidently, the global media junta doesn't like the over 60 studies vouching for the efficacy of ivermectin against SARS-CoV-2, the Fauci Chinese coronavirus, especially when used early. But there is something better than a study, pure reality of lived experience. Last year, the northern state of Uttar Pradesh began dispensing ivermectin liberally and encouraging people to take it early on and even prophylactically. As Trial Site News reported earlier this year, quote, by the end of 2020, Uttar Pradesh, which distributed free ivermectin for home care, had the second lowest fatality rate in India at 0.26 per 100,000 residents. To give you an idea how low that is, that's how low the childhood mortality rate for COVID is. They were able to do in a country that is a third world country. Did you know, before I go any further, in India, they have 300 million people without toilets. And they're able to do this with COVID. Only the state of Bihar, with 128 million residents, was lower, and it too recommends ivermectin. As you can see, COVID has been dead, effectively dead, in Uttar Pradesh, with the exception of a very brief six-week spike in early spring. Uttar Pradesh likely would have been the first world experiment of what a given area would have looked like had they been given ivermectin from day one before a wave hit. The piece continues to say that in Uttar Pradesh, did you know that only 4.5% of people are vaccinated in Uttar Pradesh? So India has decided not to do a mass vaccination strategy. Why is it that we're not talking? Is India more populated than China? I think China has more people. Why is it that we're not talking about the second most populated country in the world? Remember when all of a sudden they said, oh, COVID is coming for India, watch out. How did they turn the corner? Why is it that India has just been cast aside? And why is it that our health officials never look to other countries for instruction? Israel is a mess. Fourth booster shot, shutting down the country, masks everywhere. India, they're doing just fine. And India is dramatically poorer than Israel. It's not the quality of healthcare. It's not even the diet or, dare I say, even obesity. No, no, no. Uttar Pradesh decided to liberally and generously distribute this, the thing you're not allowed to hear about. And even I could tell you this, in our own personal circle, someone who's just been fighting the Fauci virus took some ivermectin, and what do you know? Now, I'm not saying it's because of that. I'm just saying something to think about. So why do they not want you to hear about this I word? Well, because the I word is cheap. You see, the American ruling class, it's even worse than greed. They're willing to have people die and not have the information just so they can make a buck. All right, you might be hearing a little crunch because I'm eating something that's really special. So we have a new partner here on the Charlie Kirk Show, and they're pretty awesome. They're called Uprising Foods. Now hear me out. 95% of Americans live in the fiber gap. Over 9 in 10 are deficient in fiber. Fiber is one of the most well-studied nutrients of all time and is a bona fide superfood for most people. Until Uprising came along, it was nearly impossible to get all the fiber each day because it's literally impractical, completely impractical, to hit 30 grams each day. You have to have two full heads of broccoli, okay? These people made it simple to enjoy and hit your high fiber numbers. You want to push back against Big Pharma? Hit your fiber numbers, everybody. They've cracked the code on healthy bread. So they send you like a Rubik's Cube of bread, okay? It's really interesting. Only 2 net carbs per serving, 6 grams of protein, okay? And 9 grams of fiber. If a biohacker and a high-end farm market baker had a baby, it'd be Uprising Foods. Uprising Foods is where you can get your fiber supply every single day, and it's bigger than just a product. I can tell you right now, the guy that reps Uprising Foods, great guy. If anyone is excited as much as he's excited about this thing, I'm telling you, something to get behind. So you right now, if you're like, Charlie, I don't get it. Okay, so here's how it works. I'm celiac. I'm allergic to gluten. This is literally all the protein and all the fiber you need It comes to you as a Rubik's Cube, and they send it to you super fresh, made in America. You don't have to go shopping for bread or any of that. And it actually tastes really good, but you get fiber. Having a high fiber diet can prevent against colon cancer and prostate issues, all sorts of stuff. And they have these chips that are really, really, really good. So here's what you do. You go to uprisingfood.com and use the code Kirk to get $10 off the starter bundle. It's kind of like a mini trip to the grocery store, minus all the unhealthy distractions. And they ship directly to your door. That's uprisingfood.com. Use my promo code Kirk. It's literally fresh bread to you, full of fiber, full of protein. Uprisingfood.com, promo code Kirk. I'm going to finish this Daniel Horowitz piece here. Charlie Kirk here, guys. You can email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Then I want to get to this email from Rachel. Ivermectin was regarded as a wonder drug responsible for virtually eradicating river blindness in Africa. Given ivermectin's robust antiviral and anti-inflammatory mechanisms of action, Uttar Pradesh is a living testament that it could have been used to wipe COVID off the map as well. Sadly, the Western world would rather bankrupt us and cause more deaths for politically driven solutions that don't work and then cede back to the people the control they've established. Perhaps there's a lot we can learn from the third world. For now, we are seeing the growth of the fourth world mentality that is much more destructive than the third world. That is Daniel Horowitz, one of the smartest people on the planet. The unmistakable ivermectin miracle in the Indian state of Uttar Pradesh. We are going to link through to it at charliekirk.com and give him the attribution he needs. But the problem, and again, I'm not telling you to go take ivermectin, okay? I'm not telling you not to take it. I'm making available the data. Now, I do want to say this, though, because it's very important. Some people say, well, go talk to your doctor. Yeah, I hope you have a good doctor, though, because there's some really bad doctors out there, awful doctors. Just because someone's a doctor doesn't mean they're going to do a good job. Make sure you know the doctor's telling you the truth, that they're not just being a dogmatic automaton. I just had to fire a doctor recently here where he said, well, if you're not vaccinated, you have to be tested and all this. I said, listen, I'm not going through this COVID caste system to get a physical. Threw him out of my life. Found another doctor, great guy, who I've known for a while, and we're doing very well. Rachel emails us, freedom@charliekirk.com. This is very important. She says, hey, Charlie, love your show and love what you're doing for this country. I wanted to let you know about my experience about ivermectin. I have a doctor who is willing to prescribe it as a prophylactic as well as a treatment. Well, you have a good doctor. I just got an email from her 2 weeks ago saying that the FDA is mandating them to stop prescribing ivermectin. When I go to pick up my refill of my ivermectin, I had to speak with a pharmacist. He informed me this happens to be through Walgreens, that Walgreens will no longer be filling ivermectin because the FDA is saying that the side effects are bad and that the dosage for humans has not been documented well enough. Now, I fully believe that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine could be ways to prevent COVID. Oh, by the way, for a full day supply, 5 day supply of ivermectin, the price is $140, which is super high compared to everywhere else outside the United States. That is true. So now the FDA has stepped in, not to only block doctors, but also pharmacists from filling prescriptions, even though doctors are willing to prescribe it. I feel like now this drug is going to be going to the black market or something. Oh, yes, just so you know, ivermectin will be heavy, much more heavily regulated than cocaine and heroin. If you have any suggestions on how to get ivermectin, please let me know. But it's also something to do a little more digging on. I've used America frontline doctors for hydroxychloroquine, but it seems they're getting backed up as well. Well, look, let me just say this. Anything the FDA says needs to be taken with a grain of salt. The FDA, they did a deal with the Sackler family to basically legalize OxyContin or oxycodone that killed tens of thousands of people across the country, and the FDA was in on it. So don't give me this whole thing about the FDA knows what's best for you. But what does the NIH say? What's amazing is if you go to the NIH website, which is our own government, they haven't taken these down, interestingly. And we've talked about this before. NIH, ivermectin, a multifaceted drug of Nobel Prize honored distinction with indicated efficacy against a new global scourge. That's the NIH website. NIH says that National Institute of Health, ivermectin can have antiviral action. It stops viral replication. Ivermectin works when distributed. Extremely safe. This is the NIH website. I'm reading straight from the NIH website. NIH, ivermectin in India, WHO white paper, over 60 peer-reviewed white papers showing that ivermectin could be helpful. Free your mind, everybody. But the real reason they hate it is that they know there's antiviral properties in it, but no one's going to make any money off of it. At least the big players aren't going to make money off of it. As we said, and we predicted, Merck is going to have trials underway for a daily COVID pill. How convenient. So they say mass inoculation, even though they now changed the definition of vaccine, we have been saying on this program since last April, we need to focus on treatments and treatments and treatments and treatments. But now they're saying, hey, don't take ivermectin. Instead, we're going to go take the copycat of ivermectin. Cut 68.
There is a clinical trial starting this week here in the Valley. Mesa researchers say what they're working on could be a game changer in the pandemic. Here's Brittany Thomason.
Patients come to this Mesa lab for the trial. If the drug works and the FDA gives it emergency use authorization, the Biden administration says it plans to buy 1.7 million doses of it. Inside this lab, infectious disease doctor Anita Coley researches how these pills could help people.
Lopinavir is an antiviral that directly impacts the replication of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, preventing it from replicating and thereby bringing down viral levels in the body.
So basically, bringing down viral loads in the body, we know ivermectin does that. Now, someone emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com, saying, I think I'm going to take some, Charlie, after listening today. I am not telling you guys to take it. I'm not giving you medical advice. Go find a medical professional who knows who they're doing. Make sure you have your entire medical history checked out. Make sure you won't have any sort of unintended side effects to these things. For example, 1% of the population that could possibly take hydroxychloroquine might have heart issues because of a certain degree of vulnerability there. So, but what I'm saying, though, is free your mind. And look what happened with Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan took it. Obviously, it's just fine. So you read the story of Uttar Pradesh, it really makes you think, do they want this to be over? Or is this pandemic a perpetual money supply and power supply? More importantly, a power supply for America's ruling class. Cut 74. This is where we're headed. The Australian premier of New South Wales says millions of unvaccinated Americans will be blacklisted from society. Now, never do they talk about how the vaccine might be contributing to the spread of the virus. I say might three times because that's inconclusive. But we do know that the efficacy is declining dramatically. What are they saying in Australia? If you're not vaccinated, you will not have the freedom that vaccinated people have. Play cut 74.
I want to say very clearly that if you're not vaccinated, you will not have the freedom or the freedoms that vaccinated people have, even when we get to 80% double dose. But don't assume you can sit back and by choice participate in everything.
And then Fauci, we played this before, basically says you should not be able to get on an airplane if you're not vaccinated. Now, do you know that over 100 million people have already had the virus? You know what the best vaccine is? Natural immunity. Why are we not talking about natural immunity? And also, while we're at it, why is no one talking about monoclonal antibodies? Monoclonal antibodies could be the game changer. Cut six.
I would support that if you want to get on a plane and travel with other people, that you should be vaccinated. When you hear us say, should you mandate vaccination for children to be able to attend school? Some people say, oh, my goodness, that would be terrible to do that. But we already do that and have been doing that for decades and decades.
And the smear merchants who run the media, they can't even get their narrative straight. For even a couple months, I want to go 56, then I want to go 59, and then 60, and then 61, if we can. So Tucker Carlson asks the question, he says, wait a second, the political class is really upset about Nicki Minaj's tweet. Yeah, play cut 56.
But it's not anything to do with the physical effect of the vaccine that makes our political class mad. It's the last part of Nicki Minaj's tweet that enrages them. The part where she says you should pray on it, make the decision yourself, like a free human being and, quote, don't be bullied.
Play next cut of Joy Reid, who's went after Nicki Minaj aggressively. Play tape.
People like Nicki Minaj, I have to say this. You have a platform, sister, that is 22 million followers. Okay, I have 2 million followers. You have 22 million followers on Twitter. For you to use your platform to encourage our community to not protect themselves and save their lives, my God, sister, you could do better than that. For you to use your platform to put people in the position of dying from a disease they don't have to die from, oh my God, as a fan, as a hip hop fan, as somebody who was your fan, I'm so sad that you did that. So sad that you did that, sister. Oh my God.
And then Tucker responds to her.
You gotta love that. Lady from Denver who went to Harvard. Fake urban accent. She sounds like Obama, sister. But the most amusing part is that woman's position on vaccines, which is, how to put it, changed a little bit from a year ago.
And Joy Reid used to say that we need to be vaccine skeptic. All right, play tape.
We just don't know how effective or what the adverse events will be. Yeah. We'll have a better idea in December. Every vaccine takes 15-20 years. So for us to just ran this through less than a year, I'm not surprised by the public's skepticism, to be honest, Joy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're wise. It's wise skepticism.
They're wise. It's wise skepticism. It takes 15 to 20 years. If you don't take the vaccine, you're a racist. It's 90 days later. A lot of people ask me, Charlie, how do you know so much about American history? The answer is not from school. As many of you know, I did not go to formal college. Actually, I didn't go to college at all. So my education has been a process. I've always been committed to learning and diving deep into ideas. And one source of truth and knowledge has been the greatest partner in that pursuit of learning, and that is Hillsdale College. American history and civics education, they're quite honestly at a turning point. And the Hillsdale 1776 curriculum, they are teaching the truth. And they have downloadable curriculum for you and your children for free at k12.hillsdale.edu. That's k12.hillsdale.edu. And you could take online courses. So I, every single day, I do my best to try to schedule at least 30 minutes to an hour to take some online courses. So I have my certificate. I have passed the course in Constitution 101, the intro to the Constitution. I'm about to finish the introduction to Western philosophy. I finished the introduction to Aristotle, how to live a good life. And they have a new one called The Great American Story that I'm taking, and it's phenomenal. If you say, Charlie, how do I get my kids to know history? Literally pay them to take these courses. It's that good. The Great American Story. It's charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Maybe you're more of a World War II fan. They have a whole course on that called The Second World Wars. Maybe you're a fan of Shakespeare. They have a course on that, Hamlet and the Tempest. Maybe you're a fan of theology. They have a whole course on Theology 101. How about on the Greek Wars, Athens and Sparta, Winston Churchill and statesmanship? These are free of charge, amazingly rigorous courses that will get you to appreciate the country, what it means to be a human being, where our rights come from. At k12.hillsdale.edu. That's k12.hillsdale.edu. Hillsdale, we are so honored to partner with them on the Charlie Kirk Show. Our children deserve to be taught the truth through a sound curriculum created by teachers, not bureaucrats, and uphold the dignity of each individual. So download the 1776 curriculum right now, and you yourself should at least carve out 20 minutes a day to try and learn something new. These courses can be downloaded, they could be podcasts, and there's little tests after them to make sure that you are comprehending what you are learning. And about after 10 courses, you get your certificate. It's one of the coolest feelings in the world. You feel like you are retaining that knowledge and you have a better understanding of what's happening in America. Download Hillsdale 1776 curriculum for free at k12.hillsdale.edu. That's k12.hillsdale.edu. Phenomenal partners. Please check it out right now. Breitbart.com has a story about all of our new neighbors that we are being forced to welcome, invade the world, invite the world from Afghanistan. A new analysis from the Center for Immigration Studies reveals that the number of Afghans living in the U.S. has shot up to 133,000 in 2019. More than three times the number that were living here before 2001. So that's the bargain that happens, is Republicans get to go invade countries they want, and Democrats get to go invite them, and they get the voters in return. Everybody wins, except you. The normal Americans lose. California remains home to the largest Afghan populations in the United States, with about 54,000 Afghans residing in the state, while about 24,000 live in Virginia and 10,000 live in Texas. You go deeper into it, Afghan immigrant households use more than three times the food stamps as native-born American households. In 2010, about 19% of Afghan immigrant households used food stamps, but that has skyrocketed to 35% in 2019. Likewise, the number of Afghan immigrant households that live or near U.S. poverty line is close to 51%. So, of course, you create a new government-dependent class. The share of Afghans with low incomes has not worsened in recent years. Their use of welfare has just increased. They're learning how to game the system, similar to Ilhan Omar and the Somalians that live in Minnesota. Food stamp use by Afghan households increased the most. The high rates of welfare use reflect a large share of Afghans who live in or near poverty and the success of refugee resettlement organizations in signing them up for programs, helping many assimilate them into the welfare system. So these are Republicans are inviting future welfare recipients into their states, like Arizona and Texas. And when someone is on welfare, are they more likely to vote for a Republican or a Democrat? We know the answer to that, obviously. It continues by saying that the explosion of new Afghans coming into America will assuredly mean more people on government dependency. And you know what's so gross about it is they didn't pay into this system at all. So here's the way it works. We have to pay our taxes so people like Mark Milley can go invade and occupy a nation to go manufacture the loss of a war, give then $85 billion in weapons to the enemy. Then the country gets taken over because we let them. We then say, oh, because we invaded and we're there for 20 years and we just gave weapons to the enemy, now we need to go let a couple hundred thousand people into America, bring them into your neighborhoods. And also we went into great detail about the Afghan crime wave, which is stunning of what's happened in Europe. And then once they're here in America, we need to then pay for their social benefits and pay for their government benefits. We need to get them on welfare, get them on food stamps, get them on assistance. It's a total scam, obviously. It's trying to remake the entire American electorate. When Trump cut down on the number of refugees, these NGOs like World Relief and all these other NGOs that some of you might send money to, which, by the way, producer Andrew has some intimate details about them. I don't want to say anything private, but he says they're a total scam. These organizations are a total scam. These ones that send you these mailers that say, go help these children, you know, these refugees. I've talked to insiders. They say you have no idea. It almost never does what it says it's going to do. The only thing it does is it redirects resources from the American homeland to some other distant place or people that don't share our values or our customs or traditions. So as Mark Milley was phoning the Chinese and telling them about our plans, he was obviously not caring about Afghanistan, but the true plan was always refugee resettlement. How do we get America to be less white? Now, that might seem like a dramatic statement, but they applaud that on the Jimmy Kimmel show. Jimmy Kimmel, he says, now America is less white. People start applauding. I'm going to read from this article, Breitbart.com again. Afghan population in the U.S. explodes and a majority of them live on welfare. Invade the world, invite the world, and then addict them to government programs. Send them a mail-in ballot. Send them two. Why not? That's the process. And some of you might say, Charlie, how could people be this sinister? You don't know the Democrats like we do. You don't know the left like we do. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to make sure you're subscribed to all of our podcasts, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.